You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So a couple of things before I get into the message. This past week was a busy week. We had the Shepherd Community Revival. I just did see some of you up there during the week at times, and it was just amazing. This is the third year that that community has put together a revival. Gene, your piano playing was spectacular.
Thank you.
It really set the atmosphere for worship. There were several musical groups that played the revival, and there were five pastors that brought messages. My night was Tuesday night, and I have to tell you that no matter who was at the pulpit, the Holy Spirit was doing the talking. Next summer, we will do it again, and I hope to see many more of you out there. It is worth your time. Also, if you haven't been back and looked at the new prayer room, it's 99% there. I hope that that room will be one of the most used spaces in this church, because this is, after all, a house of prayer. Back there, you will also find in one of the bookcases prayer journals. They're blank, which means you write in them. And they're free. Pick one up. When you fill that one up, go back there and get another one. I hope you will begin to use the prayer journals. Use it for journaling. Use it for taking notes during the sermon. Whatever the Holy Spirit moves you to do, use the prayer journals. But whatever you do, before you leave here today, go check it out. You know, my wife she does some amazing things. And I have to tell you that her vision for that room came together yesterday as we kind of put the last touches on it. It's still missing a coffee table and a credenza. They're coming. They'll be here this week. But just like everybody else, when I saw the paint, I was like, this is awful dark. Go look. It really is a peaceful place, and it should be conducive to prayer. I hope you will use that space for what it was intended. We will also put a prayer request list. When the credenza comes in, right in the middle of it will be a place for you to write prayer requests in addition to the one that we have when you come in. And we will make sure that gets to the prayer team every week, just like we do that one. So, enough said. Gary, you want to preach this morning? No? Okay. All right. I'll do it. This morning, I want to come to you from Ephesians chapter 4. The title of this is New Life, New Rules. All of us have a new life in Christ, yes? Now you got to learn new rules, Craig. Paul has a lot to say about new rules for those who are in Christ. So let me just start at Ephesians 4, verse 25. We'll read the scripture and then we'll dig into a little bit this morning. Paul says, "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So I want to spend a little bit of time here this morning. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus and also the church at Splendora. And Paul is giving us as Christians some rules for our new life in Christ. You see, once you make a decision to follow Christ, the transformation begins. And we have to daily work to be more and more like Jesus, and less like the person we were before we accepted him as Lord. More like Jesus, less like me. Turn to your neighbor and say, more like Jesus. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. More like Jesus, less like me. It's not an easy path, especially at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It's not an easy path. It's not an easy road. Nobody ever said it was easy when we're trying to put away our old self and take on the person of Christ. And Paul acknowledges that fact. And he gives us some guidelines, some rules to help us along. So if you're taking notes, if you've got your brand new prayer journal and you want to take some notes, rule number one, no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth is what Paul is saying. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. When you lie to other people or you don't tell the whole truth to other people, you just end up lying to yourself because we're all connected. Rule number one, no more lies, no more pretense. Rule number two, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry if it's righteous anger, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Especially when you're talking about your spouse. Angela and I got through 8 hours in the prayer room yesterday, putting up the wood slats and everything, without an argument about where something should go or how it should look. That's a miracle. Prayer works. We didn't go to bed angry. As a matter of fact, we went to bed tired but fulfilled, because after 18 months, we had finally gotten that project 99% done. We're just waiting on Amazon to deliver some things. Don't go to bed angry. There's nothing so important that it should come between your relationship with each other and your relationship with God through Christ. Rule number three. This seems like it should be fairly straightforward and logical, but Paul thinks he needs to mention it. So rule number three is don't steal. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Paul says, well, don't do that anymore. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work, not won't work, can't work. Why, I wonder, did Paul feel the need to put that in? Was stealing a big problem in Ephesus? Well, you know, there's more than just taking property in theft. There's also stealing someone's joy. There's also stealing someone's creative outlet. by too much criticism? There's different ways to steal, to take from people things that don't belong to you. And Paul is reminding us here, there's a better way to make a living than by piling on and putting down other people. Rule number 3, don't steal. Rule number 4, watch the way you talk. This one was put here for Pastor Stephen in the middle of rush hour traffic. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word should be a gift. That's interesting. Do the things that you say on a daily basis lift people up? Remember this from last week? Are you a builder-upper or are you a tearer-downer? Watch the way you talk, rule number 4. Rule number 5, don't grieve God. Don't break God's heart. His Holy Spirit is moving and breathing in you. It's the most intimate part of your life. It's how God makes you fit for Himself. Don't take that gift for granted. Don't do things, think things, act upon things that break the heart of God. Rule number 6. You might just say, see also rule number 4. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive even. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. We forget sometimes how much we had to be forgiven. You know, we say the Lord's Prayer together, don't we? Do we not? There's a part in the Lord's Prayer that's conditional. It's the part about forgiveness. Do you recall it? Anybody?
Forgive those who trespass.
Forgive those who trespass against you. Right? Why? It's in there also. Exactly. It's a conditional statement. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. It might translate better, forgive us only as much as we're willing to forgive others. Conditional statement. We have to forgive in order to be forgiven. That doesn't mean that we don't hold people accountable. It doesn't mean that people don't have to pay the consequences of their actions, but we don't have to hold that against them in an atmosphere of unforgiveness, because the unforgiveness part, that's between you and God. The other person may not even know they've offended you. And then finally, rule number 7. Wake up from your sleep. It's not talking about this morning's sermon. Wake up from your sleep. Watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. You realize that? If God counted hours and days like we do, He would spend the majority of His time loving you by name. Paul says, keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. Isn't that part of our mission as global Methodists? To love extravagantly the way God loved us. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but rather to give everything of himself to us. Do you love because you get something in return, or do you love unconditionally? God loves unconditionally. Paul says, love each other like that. So, if we follow the seven rules that Paul outlines for us here in Ephesians, if we're willing to follow the rules, if you're willing to heed the guidance, then the transformative, sanctifying power of Jesus Christ will work in you, and Christ promises to complete the good work in you that he started. It's a promise. Now, I know all too well what this transformative power can do in a life. I have seen it in others, and I have seen it. I have witnessed it. In fact, it is my testimony as a Christian, because I was not always a Christ follower. In fact, like Paul says, I'm the chief of all sinners. I can relate to Paul. I can admit that I was a sinner because Jesus has taken the sin and the shame away. You know, I was privileged at one point to deliver a message for a men's Emmaus walk. And I don't often like to repeat myself from the pulpit, but you know, there comes a time when a message just resonates with the scripture of the day. And it's also good to remind ourselves from time to time that we are all broken people in need of a Savior. And there's none of us that came from a place of holy perfection to begin with. We all had to learn how to be loved by God and to love others in the same way. And so I want to share a little bit of my testimony in the same way that I did at that particular Emmaus walk, because, well, it's humbling for one thing, and occasionally we need that. But the other is that our testimony, your testimony, my testimony, is what God uses to reach other people so that they understand that God meets us where we are, not where we ought to be. Ought to be comes after Christ. And so I can stand here in front of you this morning and tell you that because of Jesus Christ, I am not the man that I used to be. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. See, Paul wanted us to know that the gospel was not something he just came up with. He wants us to know the source. The same way I want you to know that when I stand here on Sunday mornings, I don't give anything that doesn't come from Scripture. Paul says, you have heard no doubt of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. Paul saying, I was the model of a perfect Jewish man. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son Jesus to me, so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, Peter, and stayed with him 15 days, but I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. See, Paul had a testimony that he was sharing with us. He had a testimony, he had a witness, and his testimony and his witness glorified God. Paul's testimony and Paul's witness are glorifying to God because they cause those who hear it to glorify God also. And that's the same for your testimony. When you share what Christ has done in your life and how your life has been changed by having the Holy Spirit dwell in you, it glorifies God and it causes other people to hear it and glorify God also. See, what we need to understand here this morning is that we all have a testimony and we all are called to witness to the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have a story. You have a story, and your story is your testimony of how you came to Christ, what he has done and is doing in your life. And it is powerful to those who don't know Jesus. Why? Because they see that you walk through the same struggles that they do, but you handle it differently because you don't handle it on your own. Paul says, it's no secret about my past. It's no secret that I was trying to destroy Christians and the whole entire faith along with them. If I could manage it, I was a zealot for the Jewish traditions. I was relentless in my persecution of the church. I was perfectly willing and able to do evil in the name of good intentions. Wow. Nothing new under the sun, is there? When they stoned Stephen to death, I encouraged them. I egged them on, and then I held everyone's coats so they could get a better throw. We can be zealous about a lot of things that are not good things to be enthusiastic and passionate about. Paul says, but then on the Damascus road, I encountered the living Christ. That experience blinded me physically for a time so that I could stew in my spiritual blindness for a while. And when he healed me, when he restored my sight to me, I believed in him and my spiritual blindness was healed too. And Paul says, look at me now. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the man I used to be because what you see in me is not me, Paul says, but Christ in me. How many of us can identify with Paul? See, there was a time when I was a zealot for things other than the one true God. I can stand here and say that because I'm not the man I used to be. There was a time when my priorities were different than they are now. My priorities were my career, the pursuit of things that I thought were more important than anything or anybody else. Anybody been there? The accumulation of wealth. Money was all-encompassing when I was not in Christ. attaining power, prestige, human glory. You familiar with these things? But then I had my own encounter with the living Christ. I had my own Damascus Road experience, and my eyes were open. That first time that Jesus imprinted himself on your heart, that was your Damascus Road experience, where suddenly it wasn't all about you anymore, it was all about him. You been there? See, I used to be a person who thought that position was more important than people. But I'm not the man I used to be. I used to climb the power ladder and I was unconcerned about who I had to step on or over to get to the next rung. But I'm not the man I used to be. I used to try to live beyond my means, spending excessively so that I could have the finest things. But see, I'm not the man I used to be. I used to be a selfish husband. I'm so glad Angela's not sitting there shaking her head. I used to think that my needs were more important than my wife's. Anybody, husbands, have you ever thought that? Oh, it's okay. It's not just me. But see, we're not the men we used to be in Christ, are we? I used to be a father who was focused on my career instead of my children. But I'm not the man I used to be. I used to be a cultural Christian, thinking I didn't need to go to church. I can worship God anywhere. Zzz. Or whatever you used to do instead of going to church, thinking that I could believe in God, in a God that fit my selfish lifestyle, thinking I could do my own thing on Sundays because church wasn't convenient to my recreation time. But thank God Almighty for his mercy and grace. I'm not the man I used to be. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, I am not the man I used to be. See, Paul found that his jaded past, the testimony of his transformation from persecutor of Christians to preacher of the faith, served to show the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a sinner into a saint. Paul found that God, who had set him apart before he was born and called him through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son Jesus to him so that he might proclaim him among the Gentiles. I think this is why I love Paul's writing so much, because my jaded past, your jaded past, is used by a God of mercy and grace to speak into the lives of others, to show them the transforming power of God. Paul's life, my life, your life is a testimony and a witness to the saving grace of God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And when people hear your story, they respond by glorifying God. How do they glorify God, you might be asking? They glorify God when they allow his word to penetrate that thick shell around their hearts. They glorify God when they hear your testimony and your witness of the gospel and their spiritual eyes are opened. They glorify God when their spiritual eyes are opened and they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They glorify God when they hunger and thirst for the knowledge of the Word of God and they become a disciple of Jesus Christ. They glorify God when they learn enough about being a disciple that they begin to disciple others. They glorify God when those they are discipling go and make disciples, and on it goes until we all reach the maturity of the fullness of Christ. And when that happens, Jesus returns. He's coming. He's just waiting for us, the church, to bring as many as will come to the knowledge and the fullness of Christ. So here's the thing. If you're at a place in your life where you're still the person you used to be, think about that. That'll make your head spin. I'm still the person I used to be. If you're in that place where you're still all about your wants, your needs, your priorities, instead of those of the Most High God, it's time for a change. It's time for us to grow up, no matter what numerical age we are, because in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways." There comes a time when the spiritual infant has to grow up to the mature Christ follower. And so Paul is inviting us to invite Jesus to be the Lord of our life today, not just with words, but with the follow through actions and lifestyle that go with the words. Invite Jesus to create in you a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within you, as the psalmist says. Choose the free gift of salvation in Jesus if you haven't done so already, and begin that journey of sanctification, where you will become more and more like Christ. And then, when you stand before Him in this life, when you go to prayer, you can hold your head up and look into His face, and you can say, "Because of you, my Lord and my God, I am not the man, I am not the woman I used to be." Don't we all want to be able to say that to our Savior? "I'm not who I used to be. It's not me any longer, Lord Jesus, it's you in me." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.